everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are looking back on our first year as podcasters and sharing the top five most popular episodes. Our listeners love some good rig talk, and that is definitely reflected in the rankings. But travel talk and tips and tricks made an appearance as well.
Plus, a lively interview with Janine Pettit, Go RVing blogger, Girl Camper ambassador, and world-class storyteller. Listen for a big announcement at the end of our chat.
You may adore every one of our podcasts equally, but we here at RVFTA are playing favorites and giving a shout-out to our best-performing topics. You are listening to Episode 58, RVFTA's Top 5 Shows of the Year.
Before we head into this week's featured topic, RVFTA's top five shows of the year, we have, as always, our news roundup.
News roundup.
And Stephanie, can you start rounding it up?
Yeah. So we have to say we are in the rally countdown.
We are. And what is, how many days away are we?
Well, I shouldn't say that without having an actual countdown. It's 1 week away. Okay.
How many days is that?
Well, it depends on when you're listening to this. Stop putting me on the spot. You know what I'm saying?
This is a podcast.
Yeah, we're recording right now. So anyway, it's a week from the day that this is going to be released, okay, this coming up Friday. And I am really excited because we have a lot of friends that are coming back that came to our first rally. And then we also have some new folks, a couple of folks that we met at the Progressive booth at the Hershey RV show.
And notice how she's calling you new folks. Folks and not friends.
Oh, right.
Well, because we have to meet you.
Yeah.
And then you'll be our friends.
Totally.
That normally happens by like Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, we're friends.
So you go from folks to friends. It happens on Saturday.
Yeah. And I interviewed Karen, who came to the first rally. I interviewed her on the Voices from Hershey podcast episode. And she said that. She said the rally was so important to really them just feeling like they got to know everybody and make friends with each other. And I think that that's true.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I think Karen said it was the most fun she had camping this season.
Duh.
I could be wrong. Duh is right.
All right. So we actually have some really fun swag bags. Go RV and KOA. They sent us some great stuff to put in everybody's bag. But then we also have some great prizes to give out.
Like serious prizes.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, the cash value of some of these prizes is like over $100.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they're good prizes. We're going to have like a white elephant game to give them away.
They're great prizes.
Okay.
I'm serious. At least a few of them are great.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So it'll be fun and we're really looking forward to it.
Are there any sites left?
Well, okay.
We don't know. There may be.
There may be. The cabins, we unfortunately had a lot of listeners try to book cabins too late. And tisk, tisk, we told you, you have to book for these things way in advance. We were talking about it in August, and it sounded wacky, right? Make reservations for the Halloween weekend. But it's true.
We have some people who tried to, to book cabins. They couldn't get one. They sold out.
That makes us sad. But anyway, there are some sites we know that maybe have just electric water hookups.
They had, the last time I checked, which granted was a week ago,
right. They
had water and electric sites. So if you want to come, you're listening to the podcast, you just got to call the Philadelphia Westchester KOA and ask.
And then we also had a couple of listeners who said that they might come and tent camp if the weather is nice enough.
Right.
So hopefully fingers crossed for good weather, of course.
Right. Now, if you are coming to the rally and you have not received an email from us, that means we don't know that you're coming to the rally.
That can happen.
And it has happened, and it will happen again. But please send us an email and let us know so we can get you on that email list. It's just basic information about what?
Well, the sign-up. I sent out a sign-up genius for our potluck dinner on Saturday. And
right.
It looks like we're going to have a really good potluck dinner. I'm going to say something here. A family that we met at the Hershey RV show, they're coming. And he smokes his own meat at the campground. He's got a smoker.
I thought you were just saying that he smokes. It's like, I just want everyone to know we have someone coming who smokes.
No.
You paused just enough, and I was like, why are you saying this?
No,
he does. He smokes his own meat.
He has a smoker, and he is going to be doing pulled pork. I am super excited about this, and believe me, it will be a blog post, and I'm going to be studying his smoker, not his smoking.
I'm pretty excited for Phillip's chili.
Oh, yeah, and we had that at the last rally. It was delicious. He sent me home with leftovers. They were gobbled up.
He sent you home with leftovers?
Yes.
He sent us home with leftovers.
Well, he sent me home with them, and I prepared them for the family.
Yeah, and here's my thing with chili. Is chili's great any time of the year, but on a crisp fall night, chili's amazing.
Right, you're excited. And I think it was a vegetarian chili, too. I think
I'm not so sure about that.
All right, we'll see, but I think it was.
Well, I liked it, though.
Mm-hmm, you did. Every once in a while, you like things with veggies in them. It's shocking when it happens.
So we're excited to be seeing everybody for the rally next weekend. We are definitely pumped and excited.
And if you can't make it this time, please, lesson learned, make your reservation early for Lake and Wood next
for the spring. Yeah.
The
other thing, the last thing I'd say about the rally next weekend is I didn't even look at a weather report because everyone knows it's just too far away to really get reliable weather info. If Saturday doesn't look great or it looks rainy and you have kids, if you're one of the ralliers coming with kids, I would plan on Longwood Gardens and the indoor children's garden there is an awesome place for a rainy day. I hope we have great weather.
Fingers crossed.
Okay, that being said. So we have some letters. We have some iTunes reviews. We got all kinds of stuff here that we want to round up.
Yep.
So we got to keep moving. So we got some nice emails about the Lake Placid episode. And in particular, we got some nice emails from people who have stayed there before.
Well, I think that we heard from Lake Placid KOA's biggest fan ever.
Steve. Well, but here's the thing is that we got a few emails basically just like, oh yeah, we love it too.
Yeah.
That was like the whole point of the email. And it was so nice to hear like, yeah, you guys got it right. Like that was an awesome campground.
Mm-hmm.
So Steve sent a particularly kind of funny, entertaining email.
And we like to be entertained by emails.
We like emails. And yeah, I wanted to mention that, by the way, people who are listening. We really enjoy getting your emails. It really does make our day. So if you're out there, you've been listening for a couple episodes or for a long time, drop us a line. It really is fun to get to know who's out there
listening. And
it helps
us. When we hear from you, what you like, what you respond to, it really helps us create content that will be warmly received by our listeners. We take it seriously when we get feedback on certain episodes, and we've definitely done episodes that probably when we first started podcasting, we never thought we would do
Yeah. And even just knowing like what kind of rigs you own and where you live, it just gives us a better sense of who's out there listening. And Stephanie's really right. It really does help us. So Steve's funny email. Okay. Just listen to your podcast about the Lake Placid Whiteface Mountain KOA. My wife and I have been going there through three trailers now. A pop-up. Hated that thing. The second hated is in all caps.
Which is great because so many of our listeners wax sentimental about the pop-up. Steve doesn't bother.
There's not
He's
a
like,
lot
I hated
of
sentiment. It and I don't feel bad about
it. Yeah, hated. There's not a lot of sentimentality there. Then a StarCraft Travel Star Hybrid and our newest travel trailer, a 32-foot Wildwood. We've known Chip and Julie for about 4 years now, Chip and Julie being the general managers that we interviewed last week. And whenever we get there, we're told, welcome home. And, you know, that's the type of people they are. And it's so nice to hear that other people feel that way.
Like, and it was, and this shows, this wasn't a unique experience
exactly.
for us. That is Chip and Julie through and through. They are warm, hospitable people.
Excellent point. It is an incredible campground, and everyone is made to feel like family there. We love the month of July there. The weather is great. The 4th of July fireworks in Lake Placid are awesome. And in July, there's a water war between the campers and the staff that is one H-E double hockey sticks of a lot of fun. Hell. Okay, I said hell. Somebody yelled at us for cursing on the show. Which we didn't really curse. Chip, my main target, rides the cart on the back of the tractor. So Chip likes to get involved in the water war,
doesn't he?
Okay. I thought I had them this past summer, but my water gun ended up being a pea shooter against an AK-47, and I got soaked and loved every minute of it. Chip made the mistake of coming around for a second volley. By that time, I had my hose unhooked from my trailer, and I got him good. Actually, I got the whole staff in the wagon really good. I also got soaked again myself. It's a lot of fun and makes that family feeling more pronounced.
This is a guy that you want to be around at a campground. He obviously knows how to have fun. I want to camp near
them. I loved Chip. You know, we only were there for what, 5-6 days.
Right.
You know, love Chip and Julie. I'm really glad you soaked him.
Yeah,
he's
sure.
Just the type of guy that needs to get soaked every now and then.
Take it in good humor, too.
Exactly.
He'd laugh about being soaked.
All right, Steve goes on. We even tried the cabin winter camping. Mm. It went to 50 below with the wind chill factor.
Oh.
A reported 110 wind chill on top of Whiteface Mountain, but it was nice and toasty warm inside the cabin. We loved it. Might try the winter RV thing. Maybe.
Maybe.
I could type for hours about the superb campground, but you've been there, so you know. We've camped at a lot of places, but always reserved the month of July, our favorite time to camp, for the Lake Placid Whiteface Mountain KOA. It's bright, clean, and so much fun thanks to Chip, Julie, and the staff. They know how to run a campground.
Yeah.
And boy, do we agree.
And you know what? Like, the Lake Placid KOA really should take this email and just, like, enshrine it, right? They should blow it up on a poster.
They should send Steve a check.
I mean, it is just, you can't get any more of a recommendation for a campground than that. So it's just great to hear that enthusiasm. We love people who talk about campgrounds. They love.
And for me particularly, he talks about how much he loves July. And mm-hmm. I kind of would like to make it back there next July.
Yeah.
And I was a little bit curious, like, what's it like in the summer?
Well,
so that,
now, you know,
that brought the
water
month
wars.
Of July. Water wars.
Uh-huh.
Chip. I'm after you, man.
All right. So we also got another really funny email.
This is a good week for funny emails. It was just that kind of week.
Our listeners were like, you know what? We're going to entertain them.
I have to say this. Our listeners, smart.
Yeah.
Funny.
Mm-hmm.
Good looking.
Well, we got an email, and this isn't even on the list of emails to address. We got an email just to me with a link to a particular classics topic.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Remember, it was somebody, a listener, sent us an email, said, oh, since Stephanie has a classics background. I mean, seriously, it doesn't get any better than that. Like, just send me reading material.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So we had a particular email from Greg. What did Greg do for us?
Well, Greg's a poet,
mm-hmm.
you know, and maybe Greg doesn't know it, but we do. So we got a haiku from Greg.
Greg, I believe, wrote us a haiku.
I believe you have the haiku, dear. You're looking at
I
me.
Really?
Yes,
oh.
I think the haiku is in your
stat.
Oh, where's the haiku, people? I have the haiku.
You have
I
the
just
haiku.
Messed up on
mm-hmm.
air. That's okay. All right, so I made a comment. Well, I'll just read what Greg wrote. Just got done listening to episode 40 and got a laugh out of Jeremy describing a review as a haiku. So I thought I would compose a haiku
Aww.
For RVFTA.
I have no idea what was on episode 40. It's so funny.
Read,
I have no idea. He listened
to it. You read one of the reviews, and I said, oh, that sounds like a haiku.
Okay.
I'm an English teacher.
So.
Okay? I teach haiku.
So listen to our haiku.
It doesn't always go well when I teach haiku, but the kids sure love writing them,
yeah,
and
wow.
apparently so did Greg.
It's easy.
See, that's the thing that happens when you teach haiku. The kids laugh. They're like,
yeah.
this is so stupid, but then they love writing them.
Yeah.
Okay? So, Greg, nice haiku, man. Our first haiku ever, hopefully not our last. So here's the haiku. Camp in luxury. Jeremy and Stephanie. NPR dreams of your program.
Whoa, nice, Greg.
I think
Greg.
You're supposed to.
Oh, okay. But I want to say, I never considered that our names, Jeremy and Stephanie, were 7 syllables perfect for the middle line.
Greg, thank you
of
for that.
Any haiku.
I never considered it either.
Right.
So here's the challenge,
yeah,
listeners.
Everybody else.
Everyone else, you compose a haiku and the middle line with 5 syllables.
Okay,
Jeremy
that
and
sounds
Stephanie.
Narcissistic. We're
totally,
saying,
that totally
sounds
narcissistic.
Really narcissistic. You do not have to do that, listener.
You don't have to do it.
But was nice.
But this haiku brings up a question to me. And the question is this. What would we do if NPR called and said, we want the show?
Yeah.
What would we do?
Oh, you
I'm putting you on the spot. What would what would you
if
do?
If NPR calls, I answer.
Well,
I will answer
I would
the call
say,
for NPR.
I would say there would be certain stipulations.
One day, somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody at NPR will listen to that, and somebody from NPR might call. We don't know. We'll just keep recording until somebody from NPR calls and says, hey, we need our next click
I would
and
have,
clack.
I would have my list. The problem is everybody owns a car.
Yeah.
Not everybody owns an RV.
Yeah, but not everybody somebody's going to work on their car. I would never. I don't even change my own oil and I listen to clicking.
Truth.
I don't know. Okay. Here's my thing.
But my thing is, there'd be a list of stipulations.
All right.
We don't like red M&Ms.
Right. Right. You know, we'd have a rider.
There's a few things like that.
Yeah, we'd have a rider. You have write us haiku, right? We tell NPR you
Greg,
have to write us
haiku. Thank you for the haiku, man. Right. That made my day.
I want to talk about Bethany's letter because this was Greg does not have iTunes. He listens on another podcatcher. And we had another email from a listener who said, too, I wanted to leave you a review, but I don't have iTunes. And the poor thing, Bethany, went on. She was, trying to download iTunes just to leave us a review. And I guess finally she gave up and she said, I'm just emailing you the review.
Which
that
was
I would
so nice
written.
And matters just as much
to
us.
Just
Thank
as
you.
Much. Exactly. So she, Bethany wrote this, and then I'll talk a little more about another email that she sent us, all right? So she said, in any case, love, love, love your podcast. This was the review I wrote that I can't post. This is one of the best podcasts I've ever listened to. If you like camping or travel in general, this is a must listen. It is professionally done. Thank you. The sound quality is fantastic. These guys provide so much information on camping, RVs, traveling, and doing all of this with young children. It is a fun and informative show. I just had a baby 6 months ago, and I was feeling like the fun in my life had to be put on hold for a while. I never imagined that it was possible to travel with a young toddler, but after listening to RVFTA, I am convinced we'll be getting an RV next summer and enjoying it with our little guy. Thanks, Jeremy and Stephanie. I could almost get choked up reading that because Bethany had also emailed us to say, I listened to one of your earlier podcast, and I noted that you said, you bought your trailer when your kids were 1 year old.
We bought the pop-up camper when Max and Thea were one.
Yeah, and she was like, did you camp before that? What was your inspiration for that? And it just really tugged on my heartstrings to know that there were listeners out there in the same exact boat that we were in when we had our kids. We were not campers. We were travelers. We were, I would say, it sounds dramatic, but I feel like we were adventurers. We always like to keep busy and to explore and do new things.
Road trippers.
Yeah. And then when we had kids, we really had a little bit of a moment where it was longer than a moment. It was months where it was like, what are we going to do? We can't just sit around. We have these babies and life is hard now and we still want to do fun stuff. And I just think it's amazing that Bethany has a 6-month-old and she's like, you know what? I still want to do fun stuff. Bethany, you can do fun stuff. And I'm here to tell you that every single week of our, podcast. Do fun stuff.
With young kids.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's not easy. We'll be the first to tell you it's not easy. It's not easy at home. But it's not any harder in an RV to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're going to go out in an RV and maybe you're going to be up in the middle of the night, but you would be at home as well.
And I said that before that on kids are hard, whether you're at home or on the road. So you might as well be in a beautiful place when they have the meltdown.
Yeah, exactly.
Go to a beautiful place.
You wake up and you're next to a river or a stream or the ocean. And honestly, it was hard the first summer with them. And even by the fall, I felt like we were really becoming more confident RVers and just it was moving from being difficult and challenging to just being really, really fun. And then season two in the pop-up camper, it was really just a blast. We were just ready to go.
Yeah. And you have to be willing to adjust to their new stages, what they're doing. You have to be thinking about it. Oh, do I need bed rails? Whatever. You know what? But all that is little stuff in the grand scheme of what it means to be living your life to the fullest, even when you have young kids.
Don't sit at home.
So, Bethany, thank you for writing us, and also just congratulations on your future RV purchase.
Yeah, and so I have to say, Stephanie and I realized we haven't talked about RVing with little kids that much recently on the podcast. And I kind of had the realization, it's just going so smoothly at this point that there's not a lot of drama to talk about.
Yeah, we don't repeat ourselves. We have a lot of listeners that haven't listened to every one of our 58 episodes. So, you know what? We did it. We love talking about it. If you send us questions about little kids, we're happy to answer them. All right.
Absolutely. So, absolutely. We had a few more iTunes reviews, and I don't mean to belabor the point. They mean the world to us. They push us up in the iTunes rankings. At one point this week, we were number 23 in travel in the iTunes store in America. And that's great. And it came after we got a few new reviews. So just know that your reviews matter. We got a couple really good ones. Let me read you one by A.M. Miller 09. Yeah. Okay. iTunes names are weird here. As a young family, we quickly realized traveling by plane to places is no longer fun. Gone are the mid-flight drinks. Here comes the reining in an 18-month-old on your lap while you're surrounded by commuters whose own children are probably my age. However, we wanted to still travel and let our son also experience wonderful places. Enter the trailer. My husband and I both grew up camping and have found that active vacations are when we are happiest. Amen.
We've talked about that. Keep busy. Have fun.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
This podcast,
I did. It's like 5-point font.
Yeah, I know.
This podcast gives young families great ideas for how to travel with small kids and makes it so everyone can enjoy the vacation from beginning to end. And that is a recurring theme. Mm-hmm. Like, how can we all have fun? The parents and the kids. It shouldn't just be all kid centered. It shouldn't just be all dragging the kids around to adult type places. Okay. Their tips are logical and helpful for everyone. I don't know if they're all logical, but I appreciate that you said
helpful,
that.
Maybe.
Okay. Yeah, sometimes our tips are illogical, right? But they work, counterintuitive. Even though we grew up camping, we didn't do the packing or the planning. An RVFTA is there to help you figure out what's best for your family. Thanks for a wonderful podcast and all of your hard work. Thank you for listening, and thank you for all those nice words. We have another review here titled Grandparents Beware. So Grandpa Jim wrote, don't listen to this podcast if you are a grandparent looking for an excuse to not take your kids RVing with you. Jeremy and Stephanie will eliminate all your excuses by sharing their adventures with their three young boys camping in their travel trailer. Their fun style, cute accents, and NPR quality podcasts will keep you coming back each week. I just love that we have cute accents.
Yeah, well, it's better than some of the other comments we've gotten on our accents, but
that's like the nicest thing anyone's ever said about our accents. I'll take it, man. Right. I have a cute accent. We have 17 grandkids.
I know. Whoa.
I did not read that incorrectly. We have 17 grandkids. God bless you. And the suggestions they make to keep their boys entertained and excited to camp will be invaluable to us when we bring our grandkids a couple at a time.
Yeah.
17. Yeah, I could a travel trailer that sleeps 19.
Yeah, not gonna happen.
Okay. Probably not gonna happen. Thanks for your efforts to educate even these senior campers. You are so welcome. Mm-hmm. And I just want to note, we do have a nice group of grandparents who listen to the podcast, and it's so nice to know that a lot of things we're saying about our kids in terms of traveling tips and locations that are fun are totally applicable to grandparents who want to bring their kids out RVing for a weekend.
Yeah. And we love to hear from them too, because they always are so encouraging to us. Like, oh, we know we did it with our kids and it was valuable. And it's so important for us to hear that. And it's nice that they take the time to let us know that. So we, you know, we just spent a lot of time sort of sharing the voices of our listeners. But I think that that was important to us on this episode that was really about the first year of our podcast, because it was all about our listeners. If we didn't have listeners, and if we hadn't kept growing in listeners all throughout the year, we wouldn't have been able to keep doing this.
I would not be motivated to do this if I didn't say that on a weekly basis, this is a growing
And people are discovering you and saying, oh my gosh, you just helped me so much. And it really motivated us all year. So we just felt like it was worth it to take the time and to really say, like, these are the people out there that are a part of this RVFTA community. And we've been happy to meet you, even though it's just through email.
We've made new friends.
We have. We really have. So we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Yeah, we'll be back with our featured topic, RVFTA's top 5 shows of the year. So for this week's feature topic, we want to talk about RVFTA's top five shows of the year. We want to sort of recap the five shows that had the most downloads, because it's kind of interesting to see what you're interested in, you people out there in listener land, and what it says about the community we've developed and what it says about your interests, right?
And then also, if anybody has been listening for just a short amount of time, now they know sort of the episodes that are very popular that other people have really liked, and then go back and pick and choose and listen to those episodes also. So I thought that would be interesting for people.
Okay.
Our newer listeners.
Drum roll.
Okay. Do I have to really do it? Okay. There you go.
Oh, come on. You've made me do the drum roll. Our fifth most popular episode, episode 25, Hello Cutie, We Heart Tiny Trailers.
Yeah.
And if you had asked me to guess what our top five most popular episodes were, I would have guessed this was number one.
Right, right.
Because it just got a lot of response and we got a lot of emails, a lot of reaction. And look, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that people love tiny trailers.
They're
They're adorable.
Even if you don't have a tiny trailer, you look at a tiny trailer and it is visually appealing. It is cute.
When the girl campers pull in, ooze and ahs from men in their 40s, 50s, and 60s. Right?
Everybody's oohing and on. I mean, it's just fun to look at these campers that have a little more style, pizzazz, you know, design qualities. We love so many things about our camper, but design isn't one of them.
And listen, we always say it's a forbidden fruit thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm not buying a teardrop right now with three little kids.
Yeah.
And so it's like I'm more attracted to it. I want it more. I'm like, oh, man, that's awesome because I can't have it.
Right. Like,
you know
spa.
What I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they're selling well. A lot of these companies just can't even keep these things in stock, the ones that are making the newer versions. And, of course, the retro models and the ones that are being restored are so hip and cool right now.
Yeah.
So, look, you guys are interested in that. We're interested in it, too. We'll continue to cover that tiny trailer movement. And, look, in terms of us being RV family, Travel Atlas, I think it still applies to cover all of these different segments of the industry.
Absolutely. We had a comment on that blog post about the tiny trailers from a single mother with two sons who brought her tiny trailer down to Legoland, Florida with her two kids. It is a look, we're not doing it because of the amount that we travel, the distance that we travel. But for some people, they say, hey, it's a tent that's enclosed. You know, it's a place to sleep. It's a comfortable place to sleep. It's easy to tow. This may fit into your lifestyle.
We've also heard from people who have a teardrop and they bring, like, a husband and a wife, they bring their kids with them and then put them in a tent.
Oh my gosh.
And sort of like you can set it up so you can sort of attach a tent area to the teardrop and you have sort of an inside outside. And some of the teardrops have little bathrooms.
I say that I'm going to do this when our boys are a little bit older, but I probably won't follow through. Our boys would be the ones that would be like wailing at the campground, like banging on the door. Like they had the worst parents ever for making them sleep outside.
I think I might have to disagree.
Do you think they'll take it to it? Okay.
I think that, honestly, I think that they would look at it as their little clubhouse.
Yeah.
And that it would be cute and cozy and fun. I think they would have fun in a tent. Maybe we'll have to try it and do an episode about it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The fourth most popular episode of RVFTA was episode number 42, Greetings from the Blue Ridge Parkway.
Dark horse.
Beyond a dark horse. I would not have put it in the top 20. And I'll tell you why. Because Stephanie and I have always wondered about whether we should do entire episodes about a location.
Yeah.
Because, like, not bragging here, just the nature of podcasts, we have people listening in all 50 states.
Mm-hmm.
So we always worry, like, okay, if we do a show that's just on Lake Placid or just on the Blue Ridge Parkway, are some people going to not listen?
Yeah, they'll be like, oh, I'm not going to the Blue Ridge Parkway.
Yeah, I live in California. I'm not going to the Blue Ridge Parkway.
Right.
Well, guess what? The statistics have been proving us otherwise.
Yes.
The episodes that are all based on a location are doing really, really well and keeping up with all the other ones. Why do you think that's the case?
Well, I thought with the Blue Ridge Parkway episode that it was the beginning of the travel season. And I felt that was the beginning of the camp season, the beginning of the summer. People were amped up for travel. That's my little bit of my philosophy behind
it.
People were so excited about they're on the road. What are they doing? They've got this big, great, you know, we were at the Smokies for weeks at a time.
We were gone for 34 nights.
So I did feel like that had something to do with it. But then at the same time, I also think about myself. If I read a magazine, if I read a book on travel, if I read on the internet, I don't ignore an article about
somewhere far away
because I'm not going there this summer. I'm always interested in places.
And I think this is a real insight into people who are passionate about RVing, is they don't look at any location as not being a possibility
right,
for them.
Right.
I mean, if someone's on the East Coast, yeah, they want to read about coastal Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody's on coastal Oregon, yeah, they want to learn more about Lake Placid, because I think that we all think we'll get there someday,
right?
Yeah. And when I pick up my new magazines of Trailer Life or whatever, I love seeing mm-hmm. an article from somewhere that I'm totally not familiar with. So I think our initial instinct was wrong on the travel-related episodes.
Yeah. Well, you know, and we try to balance it. We'll say, okay, we'll put in these travel-related episodes, but then we'll make sure that then there's lots of real general information in between before we do another travel episode. Like, we try to space them out.
We also have those crazy correspondents out there to
right.
give us national scope, which is what we're after here.
Yeah.
This is not a regional podcast.
No.
If you think that, guess again.
Yeah, well, then you haven't listened to
You have not listened to enough. Oh,
Rhett.
We've covered Glacier. We've
mm-hmm.
covered Yellowstone. No, we haven't. Yosemite. Okay, we'll get to Yellowstone. Don't worry
we'll
about
get there.
It.
It's coming. All right.
Our third most popular episode, episode number 11. And then what you have to realize here is some of the older episodes have a real advantage because they've been alive longer and people are still going back and downloading them. So episode 11, 10 tips for first-time buyers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually kind of proud of that episode.
Yeah, and I think that that episode being in the top five speaks to our development as a podcast in starting it thinking we were going to be talking to RVing families, and which we do, but what we came to realize fairly quickly based on iTunes reviews and emails that we would get and social media was that we were attracting people who were looking to buy an RV.
People who wanted more information.
Yes.
And were just literally going to the iTunes store and typing in RV.
Now, we didn't really know that when we did this podcast. It wasn't like we had our heads totally wrapped around how much of our audience was going to be first-time buyers.
Right.
But we were just like, okay, this is something that we learned and let's talk about it. Well, then I think it is one of those episodes that so many of our listeners go back to and listen to.
Right. So if you're one of the listeners out there who does not own an RV and you're not totally up on all the back episodes, you mm-hmm. want to go back to number 11. I really stand by all those 10 tips and I really think they are very practical and useful
right.
and will help you save money and have a good experience mm-hmm. for that first purchase. Okay. And avoid some of the big mistakes that people make.
Yeah.
Okay. Episode, or the second most popular mm-hmm. episode, episode number 3, 5 myths about RVing.
Yeah.
This I think is just the title.
Yeah,
I think
and that's
I just,
what it is.
I think I just did a nice job on
oh,
that
did
snappy
you, you
title.
Thought, you remember that, huh? Last year, you remember
I
that
just,
that was your title?
Yeah, I don't, I'm going to be honest. I don't know how great that episode was. I mean, I don't know.
I think
the title lures people in. Like, what are the myths?
Yeah.
What are the dark secrets of RVing?
Right. And this is one of our early, it's number 3, but it is such a general interest topic, right? And so everybody will be like, oh, myths. Okay, what are they? And so you're always sensitive to our earlier episodes.
Well, just some of the sound, a couple of sound quality issues and just a few things. But it was really just like the first 3 episodes.
Yeah. So you don't really want this in, but this is an honest top 5 list. You would have
Well, we recorded
this one
on your laptop.
Oh,
we did
okay.
not have any podcasting equipment at that point.
Well,
so.
People have listened to it anyway, so.
Apparently they have. You know, I got to be honest with you. I'd like another crack at this topic.
You do. You want to read
it. I want to do sort of a 10 myths about RVing.
Okay.
Take what we had, polish it off, and add a few more. If you'd
All
like
right.
to hear that episode, let me know.
Okay? No. Well, okay. So if that's what you want to do, we will revisit the topic in year 2. Okay.
I think we should. I mean, like a cold winter night.
Right.
You know,
when everybody's in the doldrums of winter.
The RV's winter. And by the way, I'm going to give you a sneak preview of an episode. We're going to do an episode. And Stephanie's looking at me like, what are you about to say?
I have no idea what you're about to say.
Well, I'm going to tell you.
I'm waiting. We
are going to do an episode on how to deal with the winterization blues.
Do you have strategies for
that? That is specifically tailored to those of us in the Northeast who have to shut down the RVs in mm-hmm. the next month or so.
Okay.
Though we're big believers.
I'll put it on the content content calendar.
Put it on the content calendar, dear. And we're big believers, though, in stretching out your RVing season. Mm-hmm. And last year we went into, I think, mid-November, almost late November. This year we're going to Thanksgiving.
We are.
We're taking an RV trip for Thanksgiving.
We're so excited.
And we are excited. And we'll talk more about that.
We have a little group together. And yeah, we're going to have Thanksgiving. And I just couldn't be happier. I'm so excited.
We will winterize at that point. I mean, mm-hmm. you really got to winterize at that point. But I still think I'd like to get out in December. Now, I don't think I want to go
look,
out in January.
He's stuttering. He's like, we didn't talk about this. I would love to go the season through,
but I don't think, I'm just being honest, I don't think we'll go out in January, February. Okay, those, and that'll be the only 2 months, I think, that we'll really be shutting down the operation. We started in March last year.
Because we started in March, right.
I think we can go March to December in the great state of New Jersey.
It's like hard work, but we're willing to do it.
And when I say December, I don't know that we'll be like December 20th. I mean, like maybe one of the first, if there's like a nice weather weekend. Part of the problem is there's no campgrounds open around us.
You just said we were going to talk about something, and now you're talking about it. You're like doing that topic. Like let's move on.
You're saying this is a tangent?
You are off script.
I'm sorry, listeners. Okay. I'm just building up suspense for the
Everybody wants to hear our most popular episode. We got derailed there.
And I did know this was the most popular episode before you crunched the numbers.
Yes.
It was episode 13, mm-hmm. Pros and Cons of a Travel Trailer. And I have to say, just to give you a little history, this went quasi-viral on Facebook, which is, you know, it's a mystery to get things to go, or you got to pay for it now, right?
Yeah.
But this one just like was shared over and over again on Facebook, and I think it brought a lot of people to our podcast.
Yes. So we were not surprised to see that. It makes so much sense with our audience, okay? But it also makes sense with the industry in general, where
towables,
what, 90% of the industry
are towable.
Are towables.
It's like 88 or 89% of RV sales are towables of some sort. And that number's even maybe going up, mm-hmm. and motorhome sales are like a little soft, or at the very least, like people are buying cheaper motorhomes, and there's some issues with some of the really expensive motorhomes. But towable, I just read today, Winnebago overall had declining sales in the last quarter, but their towable sales exploded.
Mm-hmm.
So towables are hot, and let's face it, they're affordable.
They're affordable.
They're within reach.
People that are listening to our podcast in general are people that need an affordable price point, because you guys are, not every one of you, but most of you are like us. You've got kids, you have budgets, okay?
Right.
And you are dealing with the realities of every dollar counts, right? And towables are a good option for that.
If you're one of the people out there that doesn't own yet and you're just starting to think about this, your payment on a towable, for those of us who have payments, you know, can be more like a cable
bill. It is a cable bill for
most
people.
Where your payment mm-hmm. on a Class A can look like a mortgage.
Yeah.
You know, very quickly. Mm-hmm. So it's just, there's such radical different price points. There is high interest in travel trailers.
Yeah.
And I think people like the pros and cons.
Pros
setup.
And cons, yes.
People want to hear like the real nitty gritty stuff, like what's good and what's bad.
Right. And we have said we did pros and cons of a pop up. We did pros and cons of a travel trailer.
We will do pros and cons of a Class A. Pros and cons of a Class 8. We want to do toy haulers. We want to hit all
of them. Fifth wheels. Right. So,
and we got to get to that.
Right.
And
we will.
And I think winter's a good time for those episodes again, because we're not doing as much in terms of the actual traveling.
Yeah.
So I think that this winter we will get to those episodes. Mm-hmm. And I think Stephanie and I are going to go to a couple dealers without the kids and really kind of walk through some fifth wheels, mm-hmm. walk through some toy haulers, and kind of think deep on it, because that's what we do.
Yeah. Well, and we're letting you guys know what the content calendar looks like in year two, okay? Here's the content calendar. We're getting there.
Maybe we could sell like a special membership where we give people access to the content calendar.
Oh, that'll sell two. Two people out there care.
Two? Well, if we sold it for like $100 each.
Oh, yeah. Well, then we'll be living large.
Well, some of the podcasts out there like sell these like extra bonus packages, and like you pay X amount of dollars and you get this, that, or the other thing. You know, maybe if I get a Saturday alone, I'll dream up some package.
Some package that you can sell our listeners.
Who knows what it'll be in it.
Nope.
Okay, now you had some emails from our listeners about their favorite episodes.
I did. Okay, so we had some emails, and what I did was I have some emails to share from some of our most loyal listeners that have been around for the last year that just send us so much stuff, and it also become basically friends of the podcast. And we need those people.
We need that encouragement. We need to hear from people regularly. It's really nice.
So you might know Keith Sims. friend of the podcast.
Was, I don't know the episode number, but right. Keith and Tia were on over
Soulful
the summer.
Soulful RV Family. They started their blog this year. We met them. We camped with them one time. And
we camped with them two times because
okay,
they
right.
came to our rally.
You're right. You're right. And then we did another trip with them at a Jellystone. So Keith wrote that they could choose the episode that they were on, but that would be cheating a little bit.
And you know what I have to say? Let me say now. That was a popular episode, mm-hmm. and we did get a lot of comments about that interview
yes.
with Soulful
oh,
RV Family.
Yes, really
because we
that
got
interview.
Into some real stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, we got into some real issues with them about the world of campgrounds and everything. So I would encourage you to go back and find that one if you didn't hear it.
So Keith and Tia loved number 31, the Spring Gear Guide, and number 9, the Holiday Gift Guide. Recurring from our listeners, they tell us they love the gear stuff. So we really try to do that still, okay? He loved the scooters in particular, he said. Okay, number 27, camping resolutions. This is another one that pops up. We encourage people to make spring camping resolutions, what you want to accomplish as a family.
I have an update on one of my resolutions,
okay.
and I want to thank you for something.
Oh.
So this weekend, I am going for a photography lesson,
yes.
and I am going on a little day trip mm-hmm. with the local photography shop
yeah.
to Bushkill Falls mm-hmm. To take some photos of the waterfalls with some kind of professional type photographers. So I have been keeping that resolution to improve as a photographer. I just bought a real snappy new wide angle lens that I'm
yes,
excited
to
try.
Happy birthday to you.
And I wanted to thank you for that, dear.
No problem.
Okay.
And then they also like number 28, the new American camper. I think we called that Meet the New American Camper.
That is mm-hmm. one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm. And it's up there. It's very popular.
It's not in the top 10,
but it's up there.
That's another one too, where I felt like we got into some real stuff. And that North American Camping Report by KOA was just so rich in terms of all the material in it. So that's another one I would encourage you to go back and listen to.
Yeah. And I also wanted to read an email from JP who he and his wife, Kathy, were probably reading our blog before anybody.
They were reading our blog before we had a blog.
We had a blog.
We put up the first post and they're like, what have you been waiting for?
They're so nice. And we finally got to meet them after, you know, so
I
many
think
years.
Adorable is a
they're,
better word.
Love them. So, and they're just so inspirational, us, encouraging. They write us the nicest emails just about what we're doing with our kids and everything.
And they have inspired, I have to say this,
mm-hmm.
they have inspired me a lot to think about international RV travel,
yes,
which really, I honestly wasn't thinking about much, but just becoming friends with them and hearing about all of their international RV trips has really got me thinking a lot about them.
Okay. So they wrote in and said, after looking back over the episodes, we have several favorites. The one that really helped us the most is the one on organization in the RV. The podcast made us rethink the way that we stored things in the RV. The others that we have listened to again and again are the ones that review different areas, such as Blue Ridge Parkway area, White Mountains, and the like. We hope that you continue to talk about destination reviews and maybe some more on living and traveling.
I just had an epiphany. I really did. I wonder if the travel-related episodes, that fewer people are listening to them, but they're listening to them more often.
Maybe.
That they're downloading mm-hmm. them multiple times because...
Well, you only download... No, that doesn't make sense, honey, because you only download once.
Yeah.
And then once you download, it's on your device.
I'm sorry.
Your theory doesn't fly, okay? So anyway, then lastly, I wanted to read one from Aaron from In Town Campground. We interviewed them on the show, and they've remained very sort of close internet friends with us now. We go back and forth with them. We've really, on social media and everything.
And it's exciting watching them build the campground. I mean, they're doing a great job of showing the world the process of building the campground. And as soon as that campground opens, they will be back on the show.
Yeah. So Aaron also said that they love the idea of resolutions and that they really use that a lot to focus their goals for the camping season. Then she also said highlights about RVFTA. We are so appreciative that you took the time to reach out to us as future campground owners. First, to share your fun episode, we will never not stock ketchup. That's 8 tips for campground owners. And then to interview us. We love knowing that someone on the other side of the country was excited about our project and could see the vision from the website and Instagram account. You guys motivated us to go to our first RV show. You got us talking about pool furniture camp stores, and ice cream. Camp activities, reservations and customer service, camping closer to home, and all of the many reasons camping is good for kids and adults. We got a lot of great tips out of the KOA camping report and feel like we've learned a lot about other families that are out there enjoying the RV lifestyle. I love that I've met other people in real life who listen to your podcast, and we're excited about our project because of you guys. And I love that you took our family on a virtual RV Family Travel Atlas rally in California the weekend of your rally. Because as I recently discovered with a guest at the motel who described herself as a super fan, the way to be a super fan is to be a bit of a dork and proud of it. So the In-Town Campground is proud to say we're super fans of the RVFTA Travel Atlas podcast. Happy birthday.
And there's a lot of talk coming from these folks at the In-Town Campground about an RVFTA rally at their campground. We're going to have to make that happen.
Eventually.
Bucket list. High up on the
bucket
list.
We're in for the long haul. We love what we're doing. We love creating this community around families that are just happy to be exploring this big and beautiful America. So.
And we're going to be back with our second interview with Girl Camping Ambassador Janine Pettit, Go RVing blogger Janine Pettit, Aunt Janine, our fairy godmother, Janine Pettit. And we have a big announcement at the end of this interview about something that we're doing with Janine Pettit. And we really want you guys to get excited about it because it's exciting.
Yeah, we're
excited. Let me tell you, it is exciting.
All right.
We'll be back with Janine Pettit. Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are very excited to be here with Janine Pettit, Go RVing blogger and girl camper. We first had Janine on the show on episode 23, Meet the Girl Campers, but it's been a long time. We had to have her back on the show. So welcome, Janine.
Thank you.
Hi, Janine. Thanks for coming back on.
I am thrilled to be here.
Now, I don't want to assume that everybody remembers that interview, and we have lots of new listeners since then. So I want to start from scratch with you, Janine.
Okay.
So tell us how you first became a girl camper. How did this whole thing originate for you? Give us your origin story.
Oh, story of origin. Okay, well, it's going to make it so sweet and simple. I grew up in a camping family, and then I married a non-camper. And I tell this all the time to people. Girls, this should be in your prenuptial disclosure, okay? I married a non-camper, and I just thought that if you married a non-camper and you took him on a camping trip, he would be converted.
That's what Jeremy thinks everybody would love RVing if they would just start.
It's hard to understand.
It's hard to understand.
And you're a persuasive lady. It's hard to understand.
I could sell ice to an Eskimo, my brother always says. But So
you couldn't convert him?
No, I took him to Prince Edward Island. We went on this short little simple trip, 800 miles each way.
And no big deal.
No biggie, right? Two lanes in Nova Scotia.
Maybe you overdid it, Janine.
I think that was a little bit too much, bit off too much. But we get home, we're cleaning out the camper in the driveway. We borrowed our neighbor's StarCraft pop-up, clean it out. My husband turns to me and he says, "Thank God that's over."
Heartbreaking. Broke your heart.
Broke my heart. And then 2002, Country Living Magazine comes out with an article about the Sisters on the Fly.
2002.
That's how long ago, right? I've been a girl camper. Well, I've been a girl camper my whole life, but then I realized I can camp again. Mm-hmm. I can camp with girlfriends. And I bought myself a little 1959 Field and Stream, and I joined the Sisters on the Fly, and I started camping with them.
So you've been a sister for well over a decade.
I think 10 years, because I didn't join right away. I think I joined in like 2005.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, where was this article again?
It was in Country Living Magazine.
In Country Living.
In the April 2002 issue. And you want to hear a funny story? So we were at the Country Living Fair in Ohio last year, and I was telling the editor how I had that issue, but I cut those pages out, and I keep a file of things I want to do someday, and I put it in the manila folder in my little accordion thing, and I would take out vintage camper file and look at the vintage campers. And so I cut the magazine up and I threw it away, and I was telling her that all the Sisters on the Fly have this issue in their trailer.
You're like one of my kids with a Toys R Us catalog.
Yeah, that's what I was.
Basically.
Yes, Exactly. And I'm home from Ohio about a week, and I get a FedEx box, and it's the...
Oh, the whole issue.
They sent me the last two copies in their warehouse. There's no more. I got the last two. I gave one to Carol, my bestie traveling buddy, and I kept one.
Now, Country Living has sort of a long-standing relationship then with the sisters and also with you.
Yes, they do.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about that relationship?
Well, it's been about 8 years since I started working with Country Living Magazine at their shows, the Country Living Fair. At the time I started working there, my daughter was just out of college, and she called me one day and she said, "Mom, my girlfriend works at a marketing company, and they're helping produce this show for the Country Living Magazine." And my girlfriend just called me up and said, "Hey, Georgia, isn't your mom one of those crazy ladies that runs around in little campers?"
Crazy ladies. I'm one of those crazy ladies. We now have the title for this episode.
Yeah.
Crazy ladies that run around in little campers. That could be the name of a book, too.
Yeah, that's
or a video game.
Yes, yeah, working title, you know. So she said, "Mom, call up this marketing company, Stella Shows, and ask them if they want you to bring your little camper to Ohio. I think it would be cute." So I called up Stella Shows, and I said, "Hey, I got this little camper. You want us to come to Ohio?" And they said, "Sure. Why don't you come?"
Good for you.
So I took my camper to Ohio, and Carol came with me, and we started doing that. And then they expanded to Atlanta, and then they expanded to Rhinebeck, New York. Mm-hmm. And now they're in Nashville. Last year was our first time in Nashville. And there is something in the works with Williamsburg. I'm not saying what, but it's happening.
So you're doing events with them about six times a year or something like that?
I do three because our wonderful sister Anita Jones Wallace down in Atlanta does the Atlanta show. And I do Nashville, Rhinebeck, and Columbus. And so about 3 years ago, Go RVing became a sponsor of that event. So, you know me, I'm crazy about camping. I'm crazy about RVs.
She is. We've camped with Janine.
And I
it's
will
all
tell
true. You, this
will,
is all for real.
Crazy lady.
Crazy
with a trailer.
Running around. So what's your tow vehicle? So I literally did aspire to work for Go RVing. I thought they were way before they sponsored Country Living Fair. I followed Go RVing. Mm-hmm. I was a fan. And so when they started sponsoring the Country Living Fair and I was working with them, they came to me and they said, "Hey, we would love you to write a blog for us about glamping." And I said, "Oh, well, I'd love to write a blog for you because it is my goal to work for you, but I can't write it about glamping."
You're going to have to come up with something better than that.
I said, no, because not every woman who camps has a 6-foot tower of Scotch plaid vintage coolers.
You're sitting next to one. You know me. You're not a fancy camper? I'm not. I can't really do it. Maybe years from now,
I'll be able to.
I want to simplify my life when I travel.
Right, of course.
Oh, I'm just so bare bones.
Right.
Yeah, but girl campers are not about simplicity,
some
to quote Thoreau.
Some aren't.
Okay.
So I was one of those girls. When I first joined Sisters on the Flight, every tchotchke and knickknack that I thought went with my camper, I bought it. And then I was sitting there one day, and it was raining, and all the stuff was inside my camper, and I couldn't move. And I'm like, you know what?
Nowhere to sleep.
This is not fun. And I started ribbing myself. And you know, if you saw my lake house camper now, it's the tiny house of campers. So I'm a minimalist.
It is. And it is so, I have to say.
It's adorable.
It is adorable, and it's also comfortable. Like,
it's
when
cozy.
I'm inside your lake house, I can imagine myself there. Like right now, I've got three little ones, so it's hard to imagine.
And those
a
three little
own.
Ones have toured this camper.
Yes, they
and
are.
I give,
they love
I
her
give
bed.
Janine great credit for allowing them anywhere near the camper.
Sticky fingers and all, because there's nothing in it that's precious.
Exactly.
And
it
Janine
really
gave
is.
Them snacks. Yeah. I'm sorry, I have to
I,
say.
I have to win them over.
Because,
you know,
knows.
I don't have my kids forgot to get married and have children. So I have to borrow other people's.
Anytime.
Because yesterday was National Grandparents Day, and I tried not to cry in church, but when they had everybody
oh,
stand
well,
up.
Well, you can take our kids anytime for any duration of time. Tell us more about your current camper, though. Give us a little bit more of a scoop on what it looks like.
I have a 1966 Go Tagalong, which I found when I was riding my bike in my neighborhood.
That is too cool.
And I saw this this camper on a dead-end street. It had two flat tires. It was tilted on one side. It literally had vines growing up and over the other side. And I said to my husband, oh, my gosh, did you see that camper? And he said, if you turn around, I'm not going to come with you.
Oh, my God.
And I said, are you crazy? And I turned around and went pedaling like a maniac back. I rang the doorbell. How much you want for that camper? $600. I jump on my bike. Wow. I'm riding like a madman home. And Rick says, where are you going? I said, I'm going home to get $600.
Good for you. My gosh.
I bought it. And it was in such terrible shape. I ended up gutting it, and I made it into my little lake house. And it's really, my camper is a tent on wheels. Mm-hmm. It has a microwave and a refrigerator, and I can hook up a garden hose to it and have cold running water from the outside. But I just have a porta potty under the bed for a mid-morning emergency.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It, so it's very bare bones, but I'm very cozy in it.
But I was always, that was the first camper that I was ever in where somebody had just taken like a regular college dorm fridge and put it in there just to plug it in, or just the regular microwave, and you have that sitting there. So that was very interesting to me to see that it, you don't have to go to the extent of actually inserting the appliances in a redone RV.
I actually took my stove out because I never cook in my camper. We love to Dutch oven cook. We cook outside. We grill.
You have a good setup outside for cooking too.
I have an outdoor kitchen.
Solid outdoor setup.
Yeah, I did a whole outdoor kitchen with an awning off the back, and I have plugs out there. So I wasn't giving up all that real estate on the kitchen counter for a stove I never used.
Right.
It's almost like you've created this like teardrop kind of outdoor kitchen, right? It's almost
it
like
is.
You have the functionality of one of those teardrops.
It's a table I set up off the back, and it's on my blog. There's pictures of it. I put an awning channel on it when I had the whole thing torn apart. So I have an awning that goes off the back, and I have two plugs there for a crock pot. If I'm hiking, I can plug in my crock pot. I can come home and something's done.
Love that.
It's great.
It's more spacious inside. I was surprised by how spacious it was inside.
It is,
frankly.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it really was.
I just love it. It's a great weekend camper.
Okay. So what do you think of all the new retro-inspired models? I mean, it's so hot right now. I mean, everybody that follows RVing closely knows that everyone is into these new or are interested in these new retro-inspired models. So what's – I mean, you're the authority here to me.
Well,
what is your take on these?
Well, I love them. Some of them are more retro than others.
Okay.
There was one that just came out. I can't remember who made it, and maybe I shouldn't say even if I did remember, but – it just had the name retro on it. It looked like a camper. A regular.
So it's not that easy.
You can't. Okay, let's slap retro on here.
Hey, Elkhart, if you're listening, you need to do a little more than put a sticker on it.
Not Elkhart, that easy.
I've got the whole book.
So you
give
want,
me a call.
I mean, design has to matter too.
It does. I mean, for the life of me, I do not know why the RV manufacturers do not make an authentic retro one with a birchwood interior and a linoleum checkered floor.
Right.
I've got it all written down. Just call me, because I am telling you, that is what makes it feel like
a retro
camper.
Yeah, I mean, my guess
camper.
Is like the real materials cost real money.
Right.
But I mean, from my understanding, if people are willing to spend $70,000, $80,000, $90,000 on an Airstream.
Right, that's what I was going to say.
I can't see that there's not a market for what you're talking about.
Okay, so here's my perspective. So I can buy a little light 12-foot tow-behind travel trailer for $999, $10,000 at an RV show.
Right.
I personally would pay double that to have a well-built with a linoleum floor and actual materials inside and a birchwood interior.
Right. Now, the tabs are not going with the birchwood and whatnot, but they are almost twice as much as what you're talking about, and people are buying them. There's no doubt. And we both thought the materials were quality.
Mm-hmm. The tab, I always say this, and I'll say it, the tab is the Volvo of the trailer girl camper world. When they're so well made.
Mm-hmm.
I just love those trailers. You can grab them by the handle and you can tow it. You can pull it up to your hitch and just put it on. And you could tow it on a Subaru. Anybody can own it. They're so well constructed. And the design is beautiful. And they've managed to get this little tiny potty in there.
Right. And that's the nice thing is that you can get one with the bathroom inside. If
you
that really is important to you.
Well, you get to a certain stage in life and you just go, you know what? I'm not into getting up.
Yeah, I'm at that stage.
I have to say, too, I'm not a small guy. And I stepped into one of those tab bathrooms. Totally functional. I mean, it was tight for me.
Yeah.
But I'm 6 feet tall. And it was totally usable.
Yeah, but if it was raining at 5 o'clock in the morning, you'd be like, this is the best bathroom in the world.
Yep.
So do you see yourself eventually in a new retro-inspired model and moving away from being in something that's really, you know, from the 50s or the 60s?
I do. And here's why. Well, I will never get rid of my lake house because I use it at home in the driveway all the time. I will go out there and write. It's my little writer's cabin, and it's a fantastic weekend trailer. But now, next year, I'm thinking we're going to do some, you know, really serious camping. I don't picture that as the trailer I'm going to be gone for 4 weeks in.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not going to work.
Gotcha.
You need more amenities.
I do. And I want to, look, like, we had the craziest weather this past summer. And we were talking about this earlier. So some of our camping friends were in the Tetons. And in July, it was snowing on July 27th in the Tetons, and the high for the day was 47.
Wow. So a little heater.
So you know what? I just want to be comfortable no matter what the elements are throwing at me. And and I love my little vintage camper.
I mean, if you ask me, I can see, and you correct me if I'm wrong, I could see a lot of the girl campers and the sisters on the fly keeping that real unit from the 50s and 60s to take out for the weekend or to bring to a show or whatever. And getting a second one.
Oh, my friend Mary just did that. She's a New Jersey girl camper, and she has a 1953 King with the original Dixieland stove and oven in it. It's a piece of art. It's beautiful. But you can't tow that thing for thousands of miles. You're not taking that to Mount Rushmore.
Right.
It's just
Or you'd be a nervous wreck.
Yeah, you're bouncing along. It's 60 years old. So she actually just bought a Riverside Retro. And she's got all the stuff in it.
Okay.
And she's thrilled with it.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's got to be. It's about the camping experience more than the rig that you're in. And I know for you, it matters. The rig matters a lot and the style of it matters a lot. But it is about getting outside, getting into nature.
Well, part of the camping experience is being relaxed and happy when you get there. If you're going to white knuckle it all the way there because you think that you're on – how often have you guys pulled off and you're not on paved roads?
Right.
Yeah.
I can't even tell you when I look in my rearview mirror and I see that, I'm thinking, leaf springs.
Right.
Are they going to hold up? Is this the time they're going to go on me? I mean, I have it all checked.
Right. And we always feel like there's so many things that can go wrong when you're on a road trip with a trailer that we like to minimize those things. And really, that's what makes me go for function over style at this point in our lives. I mean, I like good style.
Yeah.
I love mid-century modern.
Right.
You know, a lot of these things really appeal to me, but I would never right now in my life sacrifice
let's just say
any
it,
of the
though.
Function.
I want to just say this. The RV industry is not making things of great style for families with four kids.
Yeah,
it's just not out there.
You're saying form over function. Why can't they be both?
Right.
They can, and we're waiting.
And we're saving our money.
We're waiting.
And I'm actually going to be at two RV dealerships next week.
Tell us.
Okay, so I'm going to be at the Country Living Fair, and when I leave there, I'm going to the Airstream factory for a tour, and I'm going to have a meeting with their PR person, Molly, and we're going to talk. And so I actually polled the Airstream people online for questions, so I'm not going to tell.
Oh.
So they're talking about floor plans.
Yeah.
You know, and my favorite
is. So what you're saying is you're going to shape the future of the RV industry.
Just what little
just
I can,
little
Jeremy.
Just busy
just
shaping the future.
Just busy, you know
putting
your fingerprint on the industry.
And when I leave Airstream, I'm on my way to Elkhart to the Riverside Retro Whitewater Factory, and I'm going to have a tour of their factory, and I'm going to talk to them.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Inside scoops here. Let's shift over to your Go RVing and your blogging for Go RVing Scenic Route. So we have loved the new series of profiles that you have been doing for Go RVing, which started back in June.
Yes, this
year.
Okay,
so
you've
been blogging for Go RVing for quite some time, and I remember reading your first blog post, and I remember getting to the end of it and saying, this girl can write. I looked up at Stephanie and I said, she can write.
Yep.
Okay.
Oh, thank you.
And so we've loved the profiles. And I just have to say, there's a lot of narcissism in the world of blogging. Okay. Oh. And I just love the fact that you're writing about other people. It just feels very fresh to
me. Well, I had a meeting with the Go RVing people when we were at the Country Living Fair in Nashville. And I got to give props to Go RVing for this, because a lot of times when you're asked to blog, they want a lot of pictures and very little text.
Okay.
And Go RVing really lets me tell a story. They don't limit the number of words. I mean, really, 1,500, 1,600 words is a lot.
That is a lot. Not everybody has permission for 1,500 words, Janine.
And
we submitted that to some of our editors, they'd be like...
Professor would be like, we love you guys, but we got to talk.
I actually did. I sent them an email saying, how many words am I allowed to do? And they said... just do whatever you want and let's see how it goes. And they had a really high open rate and it was really well read.
So Janine is one of the rare bloggers in the modern mm-hmm. world that doesn't have a word count.
You have no word count.
Okay.
I'm special. It's not I'm special, because I have to tell you this. When I was in the meeting with Go RVing and we were talking about the direction of my blog, I said, I really don't want to write about where I'm going and what I'm doing with my friends. It's just not that interesting. It's sort of the same thing over and over. But I meet really fascinated women. And when you're sitting there around the campfire and you get to hear their stories, I think, wow, you went from there to here. And there's other women who are still back there. And they want to do what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And if I could tell your story, it would be so encouraging.
Give us an example. Tell us about one of these stories, profiles.
Well, here's something. And in some of the stories are sad with happy endings. And one of the stories I wrote this year was a Colorado sister on the fly. Her name was Ginny McKinney. Wonderful woman. And Ginny had retired from her job and was waiting for her husband. He had one more year to go. And her husband was a golfer. And when he wasn't playing golf, he was watching golf on TV. And she was thinking, oh my gosh, what are we going to do now when we're retired? Because I'm not going to sit in this house.
Mm-hmm.
So she started convincing him, look at all the golf courses we could visit if we had an RV.
Right.
Smart lady.
Yeah. So she's
look for the angle.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. there you go. She's smart. Her mama didn't raise no fool. So she got her husband very interested in it. And so when she was retired, her husband said to her one Saturday morning, hey, you know what? Let's buy that RV today. Let's go look, because we have this whole year in front of us and we're going to be on the learning curve. We're going to learn to figure this thing out. By the time I retire in a year, we're going to have this thing down and we're going to hit the road. So off they went from their home in Colorado to Grand Junction, Colorado. They're in an RV dealership on a sunny April Saturday. And she looks at her husband, who's sort of rubbing his arm and, you know, rotating his shoulder. And she said, are you okay? And he says, oh, you know, I hurt my shoulder blade a couple days ago. And she was a nurse. And she said, stay right there. Oh, she asked him, did anything else hurt? And he said, my jaw hurts. And she said, sit down on this bed. Well, she was in a remote trailer in the way back of the lot. She went running on foot all the way to the office. Call an ambulance. My husband is having a heart attack. And by the time she got back there in a golf cart with one of the employees, her husband was blue on the bed in the trailer. They transferred him to a hospital and he died 4 hours later. This brave woman, I mean, that's catastrophic.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe 2 months after he died, she was wide awake at 3 o'clock in the morning just thinking, what am I going to do? How am I going to survive this? And she remembered the Sisters on the Fly. I heard about this group of women who do this. And she went online and she bought their book off of Amazon. And she's very sensible with her money. And she even paid expedited shipping. She really kept saying to me, I paid the expedited shipping. She knew. And she told me, she said, I knew if I was going to survive this, I'd have to find some joy. So about 2 months later, she had the book. And her children came by and said, Mom, we're here for the day for you. Whatever you want to do. And she said, we're going to Denver to buy an RV.
God
and she bought
her.
A 16-foot bunkhouse, mm-hmm. and she spent that. She did two tours of duty around Colorado because she didn't want to get too far from home mm-hmm. in case something went wrong.
Right.
So she went 3 months around Colorado, got home, rested 3 months around Colorado again. So by the following year, she was ready to get out of the state. And now she traded that 16-foot bunkhouse in, sold her house, is a full-timer in a 27-foot thing with slide-outs, and she's traveling all over the country, and she's writing a blog. And when that article was published, we got so much mail from women saying, I cried when I read this because my husband passed away and that fifth wheel is sitting in my driveway and I'm so afraid to tow it. But now I know I can join sisters and I can get a 16 foot and I can do something I can manage, and you've given me so much hope.
Yeah.
Yeah, that story to me was, there's so many women, sadly, in her boat.
Well, and that is the thing, is you're telling that very specific story, but it's really something
it's
that
every,
speaks. It is. Well, you find the every woman in so many of your stories that I just really enjoyed. I mean, I know that I had met one of the women that you had profiled, and I never would have known her backstory.
Yeah.
And then I was in tears reading about her as a single mom, you know, who escaped an abusive relationship.
Really abusive.
Was raising her kids. And I was sitting there reading it on my phone, like choking up. And I said to Jeremy, this is her best one yet. That was my favorite one.
You're
and
talking
he read
about
it.
Gia.
Yeah, and he read it and he said.
But what's so wonderful about these stories, like you said, there's some real sad parts to these stories, but it's very empowering for other women to read these and to say, I can still have my lust for life. I can still go out and hit the road.
Right. And there's safety in numbers.
Right.
I don't have
there
to
you
be
go.
Out there alone feeling like this abandonment. I would admit, we lost my dad last year. If my parents were married for 59 years and together for 62 years. My mom is in this boat right now. And there's just such a feeling. The loss is overwhelming at times. But when you get out of your world and you get out there with the other women and you know, if something terrible goes wrong, there's no sister left behind. Someone is going to help me fix this. And I don't have to be afraid.
So there's safety in numbers, but you're also educating women on the technicalities of RVing. So let's shift gears because it kind of ties in so nicely. Let's talk about the camper colleges that you've been doing. Because I think a lot of men, for goodness sake, are intimidated by towing an RV.
Right.
So I imagine that's more profound for a woman.
Well,
what are you doing in terms of education?
Well, I started a program called Camper College, and my thought was there has to be a starting point. So when we're at an RV show, country living fair, some kind of trade show, and people are looking at the trailers, a lot of women come up to me and they say, oh my gosh, I love to do this. And how did you get this here? Just like I got out of my genie bottle and I blinked it here. Like, I towed it here. And, you know, and I was just away last weekend in a speaking thing. And I said, you know, towing is a skill set. Okay? If you can learn how to work Windows 10, you can tow.
Right.
It's just a question of learning. And so I thought, there's all these things, and I own this tent/camper, which is really just so simple, there's nothing to it. But I thought, oh my gosh, my girlfriend has a built-in pool, and she was explaining this problem with the filter, and I thought, I don't think I'm smart enough to have a built-in pool.
Right, and that's a really good analogy, because
analogy.
I've never had a pool in my entire life. I have no idea anything about it.
Oh, she has some.
I wouldn't know what to do.
Oh, she has sand in the filter thing somehow, and it was backwashing, and she was explaining how to fix it, and I thought, okay, this is how women feel when they look at a brand new trailer.
Sure.
Like, what's a gray water? What's a black water? Mm-hmm. When do they mix? Do I take the black water out first and then flush it with the gray water, which I know now is how you do it, and you never let that tank go down too far? But these are things I'm learning at camper colleges. So I started calling really reputable RV dealerships, people I have worked with in the past. I did with Camper College with Kettleson's in Denver, and I did one with Haydesy Airstream, and we're doing one with Haydesy again next week, and Stone's Camping World in Berlin, New Jersey. And these are really reputable dealerships. And I said, you know what? I don't know if this is going to translate to sales for you. I think it will over long term, but this is information people need to have. Mm-hmm. And they were fantastic. We had 28 people come out to Stone's Camping World in June, on a Friday night in June, and one of the women ended up buying a Riverside Retro from them, and they went through the every inch of that thing. When she picked it up, it was 5 hours getting everything down. And so they needed to learn what's involved with this. Is my car too small for this, or am I going to have to upgrade my tow vehicle? When I get this to the campground, what's the first thing I'm going to do in order? How do I get this thing right off? What's the next thing I do? So it's just learning.
Mm-hmm. It also sounds like a fun night out, frankly.
Oh, gosh, it's a little fun. So we had some wine and cheese, and everybody had
I'm
fun.
I'm shocked,
right?
And learned about towing.
And then we started, but actually then we all went out to a diner afterwards, and we didn't get home till midnight. But it was a lot of fun. But the important part about that is learning that you have to have a dealership behind you that
yes,
is not
do.
Just going to give you the keys and say, good luck with that. You've got, this was a funny story. At Stone's Camping World, Mary took her new camper, and she was up in Wellsboro, PA, and the hot water didn't seem to be coming on. And she had Kevin Stone's cell phone number, and she called him at home on a Saturday night, and he walked her through the whole thing.
Yeah.
Now, that's a good dealership.
Right. That is a great dealership. So if you're out there listening, and you're saying, God, I would love a camper college event near me, ask your dealer to get Janine in to do one of these nights.
They're just fantastic.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Now, you just returned from the southern states. You were in West Virginia.
Oh, no, Jeremy. I was in wild, wonderful, almost heaven, West by God, Virginia.
Can you hashtag that?
I know. Is that the hashtag?
I did hashtag that. And we just drove all the way home, my friend Carol and I, saying, well, we hate to leave behind wild, wonderful, almost heaven, West by God, Virginia.
So and by the time you finished saying it, you were home.
Welcome to Pennsylvania.
Here we are.
Oh, you took some great pictures on the way home, by the way.
Yeah, we did, didn't we?
On your Instagram.
I said, Janine's gotten junkin'.
I know. Well, it was raining cats and dogs all the way home, and we were just getting silly. And we weren't towing, so that was fun because we get to pull over.
If you want to see these pictures, what's your Instagram account for everybody listening?
GirlCamper528.
Okay.
So what were you doing in West Virginia besides repeating that mantra over and over again?
I won't say it again. Although, I had to say it about 10 times. Before Carol and I finally got it down. I was invited by the Southeast Tourism Society to be the kickoff speaker at their fall forum on tourism. And so I gave a talk on girl campers and where they're going and what they're doing.
Because they go places and they do things.
Yep.
Okay.
And from what we've heard, this went over very well.
It was so much fun. I usually don't give a 1 hour talk. I usually give like a half an hour presentation. So it was fun to go into a few more of the stories,
Good for you.
Girl camper stories. I told our famous story of when Carol and I went on our first trip, and we were so giddy laughing, and we were convinced that every bump the trailer was not going to be back there. And we made our way all the way over to the entrance of the Pennsylvania Turnpike, and I looked in the rear window, and my neighbor's cat was in the trailer.
Oh, my God. I've never heard that story before.
You haven't?
Walking back and forth.
When we were loading the trailer, the cat must have got in. We closed the door, locked up the trailer, and we're about to get on the turnpike, and the neighbor's cat
was a vintage trailer fan.
Yeah, we had to turn around and bring him home.
It was a him. They had to bring him home.
Of course it was a him. If it was a girl, would have said, hello, let me out.
So listen, there's some other big news coming up for Janine Pettit. So
we always like to ask what's up next.
Okay.
But here's
but
the thing.
But we kind of know. So let's go ahead. You two take over here. Stephanie, you tell.
All right. We are very... very excited.
Super duper ridiculously.
Supercalifragilistic excited.
This is very exciting. So we've been talking on and on right now about Janine's wonderful stories. And we have said from the moment we met her, this is just a professional storyteller. It's the Irish in you.
We happen to be familiar with a medium that is good for storytelling.
So we happen to have this whole podcasting thing going. And we thought this is just has to be. It's a marriage made in heaven. Your stories are verbalized, right? You're a wonderful writer. We love reading you on the GoRVing blog. But also to hear you tell stories is really a remarkable thing that we think people across the country and around the world would love to hear. So we
are
going to be making a podcast together.
Yay!
So Janine's the talent.
Yep.
Janine's the star.
Yep. We use that term loosely.
Stephanie's production.
Yep.
And I'll be a sycophant who just... wants to hang around, and I'll try and barge into meetings.
You'll make coffee.
I will make coffee.
You will make coffee.
Jeremy's delicious coffee.
I would be thrilled to make coffee to keep this thing going.
Yeah, so
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be the first one to subscribe, and I'm going to listen to this show every single week.
So Janine is not necessarily best friends with the tech angle of things.
Oh, not best friends is the understatement.
Yeah, and I said, okay, well, that can't stop you from doing this.
Well, tell the truth. So we were sitting around, and Stephanie and Jeremy kept saying, you should have a podcast. You could have a podcast. And I said, listen, I've got to wait for my daughter to come home to attach a picture to a file. So this is my tech support, Monique. So Stephanie said, I know how to do that. And I'll show you. And I said, no, I don't have time. So let's do this, Stephanie.
Yeah.
I'll do the podcast and you produce it for me.
Yep.
And what everyone else should realize is that the power within the RV industry is shifting from Indiana in the Midwest to New Jersey.
Yep, here we go.
Okay? So if you're not aware of this, get aware of it. Okay? So look, we'll have more news soon on a launch date and a first episode and all that stuff.
So we'll
expect all of our listeners to subscribe.
Yeah, we'll say coming in the fall of 2015.
Hey, Stephanie, I think we went way over on time.
Of course we did, because we were celebrating an entire first year of podcasting, and it was fun, and it was amazing, and we just are super thrilled with what we accomplished.
And let me say this. There's no such thing as a short conversation with Janine Pettit, because she lures you in with her stories and her jokes and her fun and her girl camping, and all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh.
It's a podcast.
All of a sudden it's like a 25-minute interview. We'll have more news really soon about the launch date for Girl Camper, Going Places, Doing Things.
And
it's going to be a hot podcast in that iTunes store, I'll tell you that.
All right, talk to you next week.